like we ought to have some preaching this morning, and we're going to have some special singing. But, you know, it's the wonderful time of the year if you live down here in North Georgia. It's a wonderful time of the year. We don't have a lot of snow, but we get blessed with a lot of pollen. Amen. And you know that. And so a lot of our folks have got choked up with all this. And so I've given them a little bit of break here in the morning times. Amen. But I tell you, God is so good, isn't He? Amen. And I'm thankful. Hey, I'm thankful I was born in the South. Amen. And I'm not against those born in the North. I'm just telling you, I thank God I was born in the South. Amen. With all the pollen, I'll take the pollen over the snow any day of the week. And so it's just good to be saved. Amen. Luke chapter number 15, if you'll turn with us there, I want to read two verses of Scripture this morning and then have a word of prayer, and then we'll let you be seated. Luke chapter number 15, and notice with me here in verse number 18. I want to actually read four verses this morning. He said in verse number 18, I will arise and go to my father, and notice this, and will say unto my father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Then notice verse number 21. And the son said unto his father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the Father said to His servants, Heavenly Father, Lord, I do ask You this morning to speak to every heart. I want to thank You for all the good singing that we've heard. And Lord, for Your presence that's been in this place. Thank You for the Sunday school hour and for every teacher that has labored and worked this week and prepared lessons to teach. I pray Your blessings especially upon them. I ask You now, Lord, to give us liberty. I pray, God, that You would speak to us and through us. Lord, we don't want to say anything to draw any attention to our flesh, but I pray that You would get the ultimate glory. I ask, Lord, that You would save sinners and reclaim backsliders. And God, do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And we'll love You and we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. You know, this is an interesting part of this story because this boy has now come to his senses. As we saw, the Bible says, and when he came to himself, and when this boy comes to himself, he is thinking like he is supposed to, but he's thinking about his father, he's thinking about life, and he's thinking about his sin. And you know, when a person comes to themselves, that's what happens. They begin to think about their heavenly father or think about the father above. He may not be their father, but they begin to think about God. They begin to think about their life. They begin to do what this young man did. They look back and he is seeing the wasted life that he has lived, and then they see their sin. You know, you cannot see your sin unless the Holy Ghost opens your eyes and allows you to see that. You can talk to people, we can witness, and we're supposed to, and we can sow the seed. But I tell you, saved or backslid, it takes God to illuminate the heart and mind, and for that individual to see themselves. That's why a soul winner needs to season their life and season the gospel that they give. I know the gospel has power, but we must season our witness in prayer, amen, so that we're not just giving truth, but thank God there's some influence behind that truth. And so this young man begins to see himself, and he's come to the place that he desires to go home. He decides that the best thing for him to do now is to go home and to plead his case and to plead his guilt before his father. He realizes that he's not going to be able to help himself. He realizes that if he doesn't go home, he's going to die. And I want to say, backslider, if you don't get right with God and if you don't go home, that very same thing is going to happen to you. You say, well, Brother Gravely, you don't know that. Well, I know what the Bible says. Amen. And the Bible says that there is a sin unto death. Now, we're not to pray that for people, but I tell you, you can go so far in this life that God will quit dealing with you, even as a saved person, and He'll put you in an early grave. Amen. There are many examples of that, both Old Testament and New. People that walked by faith and knew God, but they got out into sin and God took them home early. I think the cemeteries are full of people that once knew God or knew God, but they got out in sin and they wouldn't get right with God. Maybe they stayed in church, but they got out in sin and they wouldn't get right with God. And the end result was that they left this world sooner than what they should have. But I want you to notice in verse number 18 here, and that this young man, he's coming to his father with a certain prayer. These verses that we've read this morning, that's what it is. He's going to plead his case. He is a sinner. sinner, but I'll tell you, he's a sinner that's got a prayer in his heart and will soon have a prayer on his lips. And I want to preach on that subject this morning, on the sinner's prayer. Amen? The sinner's prayer. You know, there may be a sinner here this morning and you're lost and you've never been saved. I want to tell you, today should be the day that you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You say, well, Brother Gravity, why do I need to get saved today? I'll tell you why. Because the Bible said now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Proverbs 27:1 said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Friend, you don't know if you'll ever live to see another sunrise. You don't know if you'll live to see another sunset. And so while you're here under the sound of the gospel, if you know that you're lost, then you need to come this morning and you need to get born in the family of God. You need to get saved, because the Bible said, Hebrews 9:27, it says, it is an appointed a man once to die, and after this the judgment. Death is sure this morning. Eternity is sure. You need to get saved because Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Romans 5 and verse 8 said, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You need to be saved because there is a real hell. Amen. Mark chapter 9 and verse 43, Jesus said, hell is a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And you need to be saved because Jesus is coming again. Amen. The Bible says that. Jesus said, and if I go, I will come again and receive unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm telling you, those are some good reasons this morning to get up out of your seat and come to an old-fashioned altar and get born in the family of God. Amen. But if you come this morning, you need to have a prayer. And this sinner in this text, he has a prayer. Somebody said, well, I just don't believe in the sinner's prayer. Well, don't read this verse of Scripture. There's never been a problem with the sinner's prayer. You say, you mean, preacher, if I read that track and I bow my head and pray that little prayer on the back of that track, I'm going to get saved? Well, I don't know that, because I don't know your heart this morning. You see, there's nothing wrong with the sinner's prayer. This sinner's going to have a prayer. You say, well, I just don't believe in 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. I don't either. The problem's not the prayer. The problem's not the sinner. The problem's been the soul winner. Because there are people that got led through a little prayer, maybe in a Bible school, or maybe down in an altar, or maybe in a room somewhere, and they didn't get no more saved than a billy goat. Amen? You know why? Because the soul winner just led them through a little prayer so they could go off and say they got saved. They signed a card, put them in the baptistry, dunked them, and they no more got saved than anybody else. Amen? But there's nothing wrong with the sinner's prayer, because if there was, you're going to have a problem with people that did pray a sinner's prayer that truly got saved. Amen? I'm telling you, there are people that read the gospel all across this world. They read a gospel tract. They didn't know anything about salvation. They read a gospel tract. They prayed that little prayer word for word on the back of that tract, and they got as born again as you and I did. Amen? And then there's people that never even prayed one prayer. They just come to God and knelt down and wept and cried, never said a word, but they got born again. Amen? I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with that, with a sinner's prayer, no more than there is wrong with this sinner's prayer. It worked for him and it'll work for anybody. It's the condition of a man's heart that brings a man to Christ. I'm telling you, the soul winner may abuse that method, and we've heard a lot of illustrations of that down through the years. But I'm telling you, God knows the heart. Romans 10 and verse number 9, it said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I'm telling you, when a sinner turns their heart to God, they may say a lot of different prayers, but if they'll turn their heart to God and trust Christ, believe the gospel, repent of their sins, they'll get saved. Hallelujah. See, in Acts chapter 16, that Philippian jailer, I don't think he ever prayed a prayer. But I don't think we'd dispute the fact he got saved. I reckon he could say this was his prayer. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Paul looked at him and said, you know, if you'll pray this little prayer, you'll get saved. That's not what Paul said. Paul didn't even say repent, and we know you got to repent to be saved, don't you? Wonder why Paul didn't say repent, but John said that to the Pharisees, except ye repent. he'll all likewise perish. Does it take repentance to be saved? Yes. Does it take faith in the gospel to be saved? Yes. John didn't say nothing about faith, and Paul didn't say nothing about repentance in those two texts. I'll tell you why. John was looking at a crowd that didn't think they needed to repent. So you know what they needed? They needed a strong message on repentance. Amen. I'll tell you, listen, faith without repentance won't work. Amen. And John had to get them to the place where they was willing to repent. But I'll tell you, when that Philippian jailer, the Bible said he called for a light. Amen. You remember the day when you got in trouble and called for a light? I'm talking about the light of the gospel. Amen. He called for a light. That was a physical light. I understand that. But then the Bible said he sprang in. Amen. And then he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? I'd say that's repentance. Amen. You see, Paul, the soul winner, had enough discernment to recognize this man's a candidate for salvation. He's come to a place. He's wanting to be saved. That is repentance. Repentance is turning from your sin and turning to God. And when he turned and said, what must I do to be saved? Paul said, that man's ready. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You know what he did? He believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he got born again. Amen. What I'm saying is, you'll never put God in a box. Amen. He'll do what he wants to, when he wants to, how he wants to, or who he wants to, whatever way he wants to. Amen. And here we find the sinner's prayer. Oliver B. Green said that when he got saved, he just said, God save me. And the devil told him for 6 months, you didn't get saved, you didn't call on Jesus. And he struggled with it, and one day he was praying about it. He said the Holy Ghost spoke to him and said, Oliver, you cannot dissect the Trinity. When you call on God, you call on God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. What I'm saying is, when we come to this text here, let's look at this sinner's prayer. I'll just say this on the outset. I won't give you the illustrations, probably gave them before, but I know of two times the Holy Spirit told me to lead somebody through a sinner's prayer. I told them this, my words will not save you. Both of them was in a desperate situation. Led both of those through a sinner's prayer. You see, if they get saved, if they trusted Christ, they did. If they meant it with all their heart. But I'm not pulling up at a red light this afternoon and saying, if you'll say this little prayer, God will save you. I'm not going to knock on somebody's door and just say, if you'll repeat after me, you'll go to heaven. That's not the way that works. We understand that. I'm telling you, God will hear the cry of any sinner, of any soul that'll sincerely call upon Him. Some people will shed tears when they get saved. Some people will never shed the first tear. But tears is not what saves a person. It's the gospel. It's faith in the gospel. Some people will get very emotional when they get saved. And some will show no emotion. But it's faith. Faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. That'll help a lot of people if they'll stop basing their salvation on their experience. While I'm not against experiences. But no two experiences are the same. We go around this room, we all had a different experience. And you would say, well, that didn't happen to me the day I got saved. And I would say, well, that didn't happen to me the day that what happened to you didn't happen to me the day I got saved. But I'll tell you something that had to happen to every one of us the day we got saved. We had to put our faith in the Word of God. We had to trust Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and our personal Savior to get born again. We had to put faith in the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what saves a person. It's the Word of God. It's the blood of Jesus. It's the finished work of Calvary that saves a sinner. And I notice, first of all, this sinner's prayer rehearsed in verse 18. Notice he said, he's talking to himself. I will arise and I'll go to my Father and will say unto my Father. He planned this prayer out. Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Now, this is a good prayer. He's not in the presence of his Father, but he has rehearsed this prayer in his heart. You know, that's where salvation comes anyway. It's not the words coming off our lips. It's what's down in our heart. So you can walk down this aisle and repeat a prayer, and you'll still go to hell. Because it's the condition of a man's heart. And when you get to verse number 18, I notice his own will. Look what he said. He said, I will arise. You see, you say, well, this boy rehearsed this prayer. How could he be saved? Because it starts with his will. He's going home. Amen. He's going to the Father. He's going to talk to the Father. He's just already getting together what he's going to say before he gets there. You know, I've heard people say they got out of their seat and they believe God saved them before they ever got down the aisle. I have absolutely no problem with that. Amen. You know why? Because when they got up out of their seat and said, I want to be saved, I'm going to get saved. You know what that is? That's their will doing that. You can sit in a pew all day long and say, I need to be saved. I want to be saved. I wish I was saved. But you'll still die and go to hell sitting there. You got to get up and want to. You got to want to enough to put your will in action. And this boy said, I will arise. Amen. And I'll tell you, that's what he did. It's his own will. It's his own way. He said, I will go to my Father. He said, if I'm going to get saved, I'm not going to get saved here. And if I'm going to get saved, I'm not going to get saved the way I want to. I got to go back home. I got to go back to the Father. Hey, sinner, hear me. You can't climb up some other way. You can't get in the family of God your own way. You're going to have to go the way that you know. You know why this boy got saved? You know why he got back to the Father? Because he knew the way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This morning, his own will, his own way, his own words. He said, I will say unto my Father. Now this boy is rehearsing this prayer as he's making his way back. He said, you know, I got to talk to my Father. And these are my words. I'm going to say to him, Father, he's had a long time to think about this. I've sinned against heaven and before thee. And I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as thy hired servants. To rehearse prayer. And in his rehearsed prayer, notice in verse 18, he doesn't have the right approach because he says, Father. It's the first time he thinks about his Father since he's been in the far country. He has the right admission. Look what he said, I've sinned. You know, you'll never get saved till you're willing to acknowledge you've sinned. You got to see yourself a sinner. Well, I'm a pretty good boy. Yeah, but you're still a sinner. Well, I've been in church all my life, but you're just a church sinner. Some people are bar sinners. Some people are church sinners. Well, I've not got out and done a lot of big things. And no, that means you're just a little sinner. But sinners still have to be saved. Doesn't matter if you're big or little. Doesn't matter if you're in church or out of church. Hey, this boy come to the place where he had the right admission. I have sinned. As long as you're pointing a finger at somebody else, you'll never get saved. But if you'll ever point the finger at yourself and say, you know what? I'm the sinner in this text. It's not this young man, that young man. It's me. I'm talking about he had the right approach. He said, Father, he had the right admission in this rehearsed prayer. He had the right attitude. Look what he said. He said, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. He wasn't going home because of daddy. This boy knew he was going home. He sinned against heaven and before his Father. You know, this morning, if you're a young person, you ought to think about that. If you've got out in sin or you're thinking about getting in sin, you not only sin against your parents, but you sin against God Almighty. Every ounce of disrespect you show to your parents, you show to God. This boy was disrespectful to his father, but when he came to himself, he realized, I've done far greater of a sin than mistreat my dad. I've mistreated God. You know, that's the attitude a sinner has to take on. We may not be able to comprehend everything at the moment, but I'll tell you one thing, that when a person gets saved, they see themselves as a sinner. And this sinner's prayer is rehearsed. All the way home, he's thinking about how big of a sinner he is. Do you realize this morning? A lot of times people want to pass the buck. They want to sweep it under the carpet. They want to say, well, it's not my fault. And I didn't do all this. You know, it's not just me. And they want to blame somebody for their sin. That's as old as Adam and Eve in the garden. But I tell you what, you notice God never did answer them. He never did scotch them up. And God isn't going to scotch any sinner up when they sin. Hey, you can blame everybody else for your actions. But I'm telling you, we're all accountable. Amen? We must all give an account for ourselves, amen? And God is not going to prop our little excuses up. You say, well, I'm not getting saved because of this, and I'm not getting saved because of that. But the bottom line is, you're not getting saved, amen? And if you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell, and you're going to have to see yourself a sinner to be saved. And he's got the right attitude, don't he? Have sinned against heaven and before thee. And then he has the right agenda. Look what he said in verse 19. And am no more worthy. This boy sees himself unworthy. I'm not worthy to be called thy son. Make me as thy hired servants. The principle there is he sees himself not worthy. You know, if you think you deserve to be saved, you'll never get saved. If you think just because your parents are saved that you have a right to be saved when you want to and how you want to, you'll never get saved. God don't have to save anybody. And just because you've been in church, you can't say, well, I'll get saved eventually. It doesn't work that way. You get saved when the Holy Ghost deals with your heart. And said, boy, you need to be born again. That's why it's so important when God deals with you that you respond. Because you don't know if he'll ever do that again. When he speaks to you, this boy said, I'm not worthy to be called thy son. The problem was from the very beginning when he came to his father was he thought he deserved what was coming to him. Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. He thought the father owed him. He thought he deserved. He was the father's son, so I deserve this. But I'll tell you, now that he's been out in the far country, now that he's been out in sin, he realizes I don't deserve anything. I'm not even worthy to be a son. I don't even know if he'll make me a hired servant. But if he'll just let me sit at the table, I don't have to never be called a son again. He never even has to recognize me. He never even has to look my way. But if he'll just let me back in, if he'll just let me pull it in the tub up at the table and just eat from his table, hey, backslider, I want to tell you something. God's been too good to you to sit in that pew backslid. He doesn't owe you another breath. He doesn't owe you another sunrise. He doesn't owe you another heartbeat. And while you may sit there and say, I'll get right when I get ready, oh, no, you won't. You'll get right if God gets ready, friend. And if God gets a hold of your heart and you say no today, he may not let you live to see tomorrow. Amen. Amen. A lot of people today think that they're going to do business with God on their timetable. It just don't work that way. God's the creator of this universe. He sits high and holy in the heavens. The earth is his footstool. We're not even a speck in the universe of God. It takes an all-seeing eye. It takes an almighty God to even see where we're at. We're not even, you say, we're the size of an ant. No, we're not even the size of a grain of sand. We're not even the size of an ant. And do you think about the mercy and the grace of God that deal with a backslider and let them just sit there after all the blessings and how good he's been to them? Sit there, and I tell you, I've been as burdened these last few weeks preaching out of this chapter over backsliders as I have sinners. Because I don't know people's heart, but I'll tell you, in the best of our churches, people can get, we all, if we're not careful, we can get so used to sitting somewhere and just thinking, well, I'm okay. And I tell you, I by the grace of God, I'm gonna tell you something, I'm not okay this morning. I'm never okay. Been saved 30-something years, over 35 years, and I don't reckon there's been a day in my life where I thought, well, I'm okay. Oh, no. I tell you, that book will shine light on something every day. The secret place will point, I don't want to point no fingers at any of you sitting here this morning, because I know my frame this morning, I'm but dust, and I know I need help from God, and it's only by his grace and I was able to be here this morning. I tell you, I need his mercy and I need his grace. I know this much, I don't want to live a day backslid. I don't want to live out of the will of God. I don't want anything between my soul and the Savior. You say, does it get there? Sure it does, but I'm going to keep a short account by the grace of God. I found out it's just better to get up in the morning and say, Lord, I know your mercies are new and I know I have a clean slate. But dear Lord Jesus, help me today. Help me to be the Christian I'm supposed to be, because if you don't, I won't be. Lord, forgive me of past sins and past failures. You say, you confessing publicly, I think it does good to, I'm not airing out my dirty laundry, but I'm telling you, I think it does good to confess to God privately, and I think it does good to get up and not say anything good about yourself, but hey, just go ahead, and I'm not priding in the fact that I'm clay this morning. I'm not even doing that. I'm just telling you to do good every now and then, and to just stand up and say, you know what, I'm not what I'm supposed to be, and I'm not what everybody would want me to be, and I'm not what others think I ought to be. I'm just here by the good grace of God. I'm just here not because I'm good. I'm here because He's good. I'm not here because I've been faithful, but hallelujah, I'm here because He has been faithful. I'm not even worthy this morning. No, we're not worthy. Always keep us from looking down on other people. If we just kindly let the Holy Spirit let us see our own self. And this sinner's prayer is rehearsed. And then this sinner's prayer, I want you to notice this, that it's repeated. You get to verse number 21 and he says exactly what he planned on saying. You know, I only stop and say this. I think when God deals with your heart, we don't always know what we're going to say when we pray. I understand that. But there are times when the Holy Spirit deals with our heart in a sermon and we know from the immediate point that God's dealing with us. And I think it's good at that point to say, you know what, I'm going to go to that altar. You know why sinners don't come to the altar as much? Saints act like they're scared of it. A lot of places I go, as much as sinners. But I think it's good if, you know, when the church lives in revivals, when we confess our sins, isn't it? I won't elaborate it, but you know, one of the best revivals we ever had in this church is when we had a Monday night confession service for 2 hours. I think churches could have revival again if people just get right with God. Not this fake, you know, I know this about not build ourselves up in that, but I'm talking about real humbling. Real humbling. Maybe saying things that we don't think makes us look spiritual, but things that people, things our flesh don't want to say. That's when revival comes. And this boy decides, I'm going to say exactly what. And I said this thing, I think sometimes we could have revival if we just, when the Holy Spirit deals, say, you know what, when preacher gets done, I'm going to that altar and I'm going to tell God this because this is what He's dealt with me about, and I'm going to talk to Him about this one thing I'm just going to say to God. Oh, I think He'd help us. This boy, he goes home, he said, this is what I'm going to say to my father, and it's word for word. The sinner's prayer is repeated. The father has seen the son, he ran, he fell on his neck, he kissed him, and you see all that in verse 20. But here's what's interesting about, after the father runs and falls on this boy's neck in verse, he sees him a great way off, he runs, he falls on it, he kisses him. It's very clear the father's accepted him, isn't it? But you know what? It still doesn't stop this boy from repeating his prayer. He could have just said, you know what, he's accepted me, everything's good, all is well. I don't have to embarrass myself. There's servants standing around. There's people, there's a crowd here. So I don't have to embarrass myself by saying anything. He loves me. And oh, he did love him. But here's the point. This boy knew, I need to say what I need to say to my father. You know why we don't see revival? Because a lot of times people are not willing to say what they need to say to God. I tell you, I've seen people come to this altar. This is a terrible thing. The Holy Ghost deal with people, it'd be all over their countenance that they're lost. And God be dealing with them. And Brother Brian, they would come to the altar. And I thought, they're going to get saved. And get down here, and I always ask them this question, why did you come? What did you come for? And I thought, they're going to tell me they need to be saved. Or they're going to say they need to get right with God. I've seen them come this far and say, I just come to pray. I'm telling you right then, it's over with. If they don't confess, they don't get right. It's just that simple. You can lead them through a prayer, but it's wasted prayer, isn't it? Because it's not in their heart. They backed up. They backed up at the altar. and the commitment of this son. Notice what he says. And the son said unto his father, he said, that father is loving all over that boy, but he said, I'm still going to say it to my dad. The condemnation of this son. Look what he said in verse 21. He said, I have sinned. The confession against heaven and in thy sight, the character, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. You know, finally, this boy got some character about him, didn't he? But look what all he had to go through. Oh, hear me this morning. Don't let God put you through the wringer to bring you to the place where you're willing to call on Him. You know, it'd be a lot easier to get in this altar and get saved or get in this altar and get right with God as for God to tear your world all to pieces and bring you to your knees and strip you of everything good in your life to the place where you're finally willing to say what you could have said. All the while. So, preacher, I'm saved. Yeah, but He'll tear your world apart if you're saved and not right with Him. You say, why would God do that? Because He loves you too much to let you live out in this world. When you know what you're supposed to be doing and you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, listen, you can talk the talk, you can say the things you want to say, but I'm going to tell you something. God eventually will tear your world apart. And this boy has got nothing left but the Father's love, and he knows that, and that's all he needs. But he's standing there, and he said, I'm not worthy to be called your son. The sinner's prayer repeated, the sinner's prayer rehearsed. But then the sinner's prayer received. Because look at verse 22. But the father said to his servants. You know what I love about that phrase? Is if you look at verse 21 and you look at verse number 19, that boy never got to finish that prayer. He said in verse number 18 or 19, I will say to my father, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And when he gets to his father falls on his neck, he loves him, he kisses on him. He said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. And before he could even say that last part, the father says to the servants, he said, bring forth the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. That was the attire of the son. That ring, those shoes. He said, put that robe on him. Hey, that boy never got to finish that part. You know why? Because he was a son to begin with. And once you're a son, thank God you're always a son. I'm telling you, he's never going to be lowered in the relationship to a servant. I'm saying it was received. He never let him say the last part. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying if you'll come. And this boy humbled himself and his prayer was hindered. But thank God his prayer was heard. The father stopped him short. And said, that's good enough, boy. That's enough right there. You said, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. That's all the father needed to hear. And he said, bring everything. Bring the best. And put it on this boy. I'm telling you, sinner, if you'll come and if you'll repent, it'll be enough. He'll save your soul this morning. Brother Gravely, would it be enough for me just to walk down there and say, God, I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, would you save my soul? Yes. You got to get out of that pen you're in. You got to do what this boy said, I will arise. And he arose. You got to get up out of your seat. You say, well, is it a big deal to come down here? It is today. You got to come down here if you want to be saved. Don't be afraid to let God rescue you this morning. Humble yourself and get saved. And if you're backslid, why would you want to live another day backslid on God when you don't have to? You say, well, if I come down there and I ask God to forgive me, we've heard this many times. What if I can't live it? You can't. I'm going to tell you, this coming to this altar isn't about living. It's about being made alive again. This boy didn't come to his father and said, Father, I'll never do wrong again. Father, I'll never fail again. Father, I'll never disappoint you again. I'll never stumble. That's not what he said. He didn't say anything about the future. He said, I'll tell you one thing. He said, Father, I've sinned. And I've sinned in the worst way. I've sinned against heaven, and I've sinned against you, and I'm not worthy. You see, the Father takes care of the future this morning. But He wants you and I to take care of the past. We need to come. You got to confess. And you know, you might be here this morning, and you might be blaming. I don't know why I can't get off of this, but you might be blaming other people for your sin. But I'm going to tell you something. My sin is my sin. It's not my wife's sin. It is not my children's sin. It's not my neighbor's sin. My sin is my sin. And your sin, and you may not own it, but one day God will make you own it. Now, you can blame the church, you can blame people, and I don't think I'm preaching to people that blame the church. I'm just saying we've seen that down through the years. But you can blame everybody, blame your past, you can blame your raisin. You know, I mean, people blame their raisin, but you know what I think about the raisin? Somebody said to me one time, said you that knew how we were raised, they said, you had a bad raising, didn't you? I said, well, we didn't know it was bad. Because everybody else on the street lived the same way. I said, and then there's always people had it a lot worse. You ever thought about that? I can't blame my raising. And I had good parents, I'm just saying. You can't blame your past. You can't be your crutch this morning. I really feel like God is dealing with somebody. Maybe to be saved, but for sure to get right with God. While we stand, our heads are bowed, eyes are closed.